Hi, K-Watchers. It's Leanne.
Hi, everyone. It's Juliet. Welcome to the K-Watch Party.
Today, we have Lovely Runner episodes 13 and 14. We get our darkest timeline yet. Sol goes too far playing with her fate, forcing both her and Sanjay to pay the price. Like Sanjay's dead body into the ocean, let's dive in.
It's too dark.
Well, I was going to say about that. Isn't he supposed to be an Olympic swimmer? What?
When you get shanked in the side, I don't think you're coming out of that ocean, no matter how good a swimmer you are.
Your fate is your fate, I suppose.
Your fate is your fate. Anyway, good morning.
Good morning.
Poor Sanjay. Well, we'll get into it, but man, that guy got fucked. He got fucked the night before.
That's correct.
With his tryst in the sheets with Sol, and now he got fucked by fate.
What an opening. We're squeezing this podcast episode any moment we can.
This recording, you mean?
This recording.
Because you and I are on summer vacay. Like, we're two ships passing in the night.
Yes.
You are going this way. I'm going that way.
That's right.
And we like to record face to face. I want to see your beautiful
face. Right.
Your beautiful Botox lasered face while we're talking about these episodes.
I was listening to a podcast about how you make connections with people by looking into their left eye.
Oh, interesting. Huh.
That's how you deeply connect with someone. I mean, you know, of course, you're going to like have a conversation, but there's something about the connection between the left eye that makes you connect to people. So this is what we're doing.
Okay. Anyway, how has your week been? How are you? You were out in LA.
I just got back. I was in LA, which is just like the land of freedom for me because I can leave my kids with my parents or my brother and do what I need to do, one of which was go to the doctor and go to the acupuncturist. Partly because
you're ill.
I mean, as you guys can hear, I have been sick for a very long time.
Although we did have a case of COVID at our July 4th vacation with our big group of friends. And I was sure you were going to get it because that's your jam.
Yep.
But you haven't. So congrats.
I haven't. I mean, that would be cruel if I got it on top of everything else I have. But you're right, because I took a piece of your advice and I kept saying, I'm not going to get it. I'm not going to get it. I'm not going to get it. I'm so healthy. I'm not going to get it. And
you got to will it into the universe.
Right. Mm-hmm. That's right. But I've had this cough. So my mom being the lovely concerned mother she is, she's like, we're going to go to the doctor because I've been refusing to go here just because here it's just a lot of,
you
got to jump through so many hoops. She takes me to this Korean doctor who's like, all right, let's take an x-ray right now. And I was like, okay. And he takes it, immediately pulls it up, and he's like, okay, well, you have these enlarged, he's just throwing these words around, in my lungs. So something is wrong with my lungs. And then he's like, yeah,
you should maybe get to know what that term is.
Right.
Don't be like me where I don't even know what my daughter's allergies are.
Just be chronic cough. I'll just have a chronic cough for the rest of my life. But then he looks at my ears. He's like, yeah, you have an ear infection. Here, I'm going to prescribe you antibiotics for 28 days. Just take seven days worth.
No.
He just says take 7 days worth. I was like, so why are you giving me 28 days? He's like, next time you get it, just you'll have it.
In your fridge.
I love it. You got to love these Korean doctors who
just very medicine forward.
Yeah. And, you know, you go to a place here with insurance, and they'll be like, oh, well, we're going to have to review your x-rays. It'll take 7 days. And then, oh, you know, the prescription. I mean, it's just, it's so annoying that I just avoid doing it at all. And then I went to an acupuncturist. They stuck a bunch of needles in me and then cupped my back.
Mm.
They put these
suction cups. Right. Which actually comes up in Lovely Runner. Sol has come back. She's dating Taesung. She knows Sanjay's mad at her. And she got him this like little cupping thing that you can self-cup.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, but it was like a little small suction gun kind of thing. Yeah.
That's what my parents have. So they do it on me every time I go too. But I went to a real acupuncturist and my back is dark red.
Let me see.
It's quite...
Wow.
Quite dark. Right? Do you see how dark it is?
Oh,
that's like bad blood coming up.
Dang, right.
Isn't there a Taylor Swift song called Bad Blood?
Of course there's a Taylor Swift song called Bad Blood. Iconic. So yes, like the Taylor Swift song, you have bad blood on your back. Man, those are some deep purple.
It's bad. Cups. Mm-hmm. I know.
So the thought is what? That the suction cups are suctioning out like bad blood and like toxins.
I don't know. Away. You're Chinese. You tell me.
Truly, I should know this. I've never been cupped.
The doctor, he was very kind of a flirt, but he was like, you're just beautiful on the outside, but you're a mess inside.
I know.
And I was like, tell. I really am.
I'm glad LA is helping you get on your recovery journey because you've been sick too long. Like it's watching you. Feel right.
And the thing about this podcast that's really wonderful too is like it keeps other people up to date about my life. And so I saw people in LA and they're like, you're still sick?
I've been listening to you for 4 weeks. You know, okay. I do have to say though, I am part of One Medical and I have been for many years. And I do think they are very fast and quick.
Oh.
Of course, they're more Western, so you're not going to get cupping and acupuncture. But, you know, I got my mammogram finally. And literally before my actual OB sent me anything, One Medical was like within like an hour, got the results.
Really?
And emailed me and was like, hey, everything's good. Yeah.
Okay, guys. Hallelujah. She finally got her mammogram. She's been talking about forever.
I got my boobs pushed and it was wasn't as bad as I thought it was going to be.
It really isn't.
No.
I think it's after all the years of breastfeeding, I have no more nerves.
Right. It's all dead. Yeah. But also I have like only remaining pancake flapjack titties. So my flapjack titties did not feel pain because there's nothing even there to smush anymore.
One of the things I've been considering is submitting my poop for a little, you know, like study. Mm-hmm. Because I am sick often, but I live a very healthy life. You know, like I eat quite healthy. I exercise regularly. So I'm trying to figure out what else is going on. But I feel like the only way to know is through your poop.
Yeah. There's like treatment for that where you eat a healthy person's like poop pill.
Oh.
Yeah. They'll take a healthy person's poop and like make it into a pill. And then you eat it so that you get their gut flora.
Ah, interesting.
Which, you know, your husband seemingly has much healthier gut flora than you do.
So I should be eating his poop.
Yeah, would you? So my question is, would you eat his poop?
You know what? If it'll make me bigger and stronger and better, then maybe I will. I actually did the placenta pills when I had my mm-hmm. second child. And when I thought about it too hard, I got really grossed out. But it helped so much. It gave me energy. That was a big thing. They say that you shouldn't take it at night because it'll waken you up. And anytime I felt a little bit off mood-wise, I would take it and then I would feel normal again. But possibly just a placebo too.
You spend so much money for somebody to dry it and grind it up that it has to make you feel better.
I mean, the crazy thing was the lady showed up right after I gave birth. She took it and she just cooked it up. Cooked it up, dried it up, and then
sauteed
put it
with a little oregano.
Because remember all the Kardashians? They were straight up eating it like a steak.
Oh, disgusting.
Okay. Anyway, we've fallen too far off of the...
Okay, so you've eaten your own placenta, which is totally normal these days, but will you eat your husband's poop? Yes. The answer is yes.
The answer is yes.
Well, I'll donate my poop to you too, because clearly
I know, right? You never get COVID. You never get sick. I'll take your poop.
Oh, I did actually want to say, and we should have said this at the top of the episode, but we have good news in the K-Watch universe because Heejin and Jimmy from Love After Divorce Season 4, our good close friends.
Yes, our close friend.
They are having a baby and getting married.
What?
Yes.
Are you... Excuse me. My mic went to red because I screamed so loudly. That is incredible.
I know.
They're having a baby.
Yes. A success story from one of these shows.
That makes me so happy.
I know. Also because, so if you all don't know, there was a show called Love After Divorce Season 4. We recapped it early on in our K-Watch.
It was our very first show.
Oh, it was our very first show. That's right. And we interviewed Jimmy. He came on and we hung up the phone with him. We only talked to him for maybe an hour. We were just like, what a great guy.
So kind and just so solid.
Yeah. Like a good guy.
He's like
guy.
A Sanjay.
He is a Sanjay. And so we could not be more excited for them because if he's such a great guy, Heejin must be a lovely, lovely person. And we are very happy for them. So anyway, I wanted to throw that out there.
Oh, that makes me so happy. And that is great press for the show.
Right.
Because a lot of times, like say The Bachelor or The Bachelorette, they don't end up together.
Yeah. I'm bummed that season 5, which is going on right now, or maybe have just ended in Korea, isn't on Netflix. Like we can't watch it. I mean, Vicky, get on it. There's a lot of reality Korean shows playing in Korea that everybody's kind of DMing us about. There's one about like a shaman finding love.
Yes.
Exchange. Like there's all transit love, all of these great, great reality shows. And they're not easily accessible to us in the West. It's a shame because we would love.
We would love it. It would, I think, would do so well.
I know. But it's hard for us to ask you guys to click on these random links to Tubi or whatever.
Right. I know. We already have a lot of resistance to Vicky. People are borrowing other people's passwords.
Well, hopefully everybody is watching Lovely Runner with us. We are on episodes 13 and 14. We ended episode 12. Seol got off the train. She pretended like she was 2008 Seol again, and she went back into the future. But in fact, she is actually herself. She still has her 2023 brain, and she is trying to ditch Sunjay so that she can face this cabbie by herself in this beach town. In the past, really what was supposed to happen was she was supposed to get attacked by this cabbie in a warehouse near her home. But now she's at a beach and she's been watching the future change in her memories, which is utterly ludicrous because to this point, she's only seen the past. But we're just going to let
that
go.
She's now a fortune teller.
Yes. In these future fortune telling, she is seeing herself on a cliff. Crazy cabbie's there. Sunjay calls her name. That's what her memory has changed into.
Mm-hmm. One person that she does have on her side is bad boy Taesung's dad, the detective Kim.
Yes.
And so she has been warning him through this journey. And bless his heart, he believes her because she's like, please meet me in this beach town.
Before the darkness starts, we do get a flashback to her birthday, some happy times like a few days prior to this beach incident. They went on a date to an amusement park.
And this place is going to be crucial throughout these two episodes.
They make a date here to go again in the future, you know, in 15 years again when they see each other. They take cute pictures, they share food, they go on rides. It's just a perfect day date. They get on the Ferris wheel.
Koreans must love a Ferris wheel because it made an appearance on Love After Divorce, which was the first show that we recapped, as we mentioned. And they use the Ferris wheel as the place that the final dates were made. I didn't know if Ferris wheels were so popular because I'm always afraid they're going to break down. But I guess it's a great place to be making out. But they get on there and he asks her to wait while he goes runs to get something. So romantic. He brings her a cake because it's her birthday.
Ugh, he's just so sweet. He gifts her with a silver necklace with a big S on it. It feels very 2009, that like silver.
It's silver and it's bejeweled.
Bejeweled.
With cubic zirconia.
I was looking through my old stuff. I used to have from, maybe it was like junior high, like a lot of ID bracelets.
Oh, yeah.
Like we would order it from like a catalog, like Scholastic or something.
Yes.
And then you would like.
And it had like your birthday and it had your address. It was basically like, here's my social security number. Yeah. If everybody wants it, come and get it.
He says, thank you for coming back in time to find me. She tells him, you don't know this, but you saved my life too. And says, thank you. And they kiss on the Ferris wheel. Another kiss. So now we come back to 2009. The beach police won't help her. She is spitting out lies left and right. You know, she lied to Sunjay on the train. She's lying to her mom.
I was confused because I'm not sure why she is so hell-bent on getting this guy on her own.
And it doesn't feel like throughout this episode that she has much of a plan.
No.
She's just hoping Detective Kim is there when she needs him.
And she knows it's on a cliffside. Like, more dangerous than any other situation she's been in.
Right. She's standing by the aquarium at night. She's almost just kind of like waiting around until things happen to her. Like, the aquarium makes me feel like she's like kind of like chum in the water for this shark cabbie. Yeah. And you know, it's actually Shark Week on Discovery Channel right now.
Is it right now? Yeah.
We're seeing a lot of Shark Week commercials. So it's Shark Week on TV and it's Shark Week here in small beach town. She's having like the flashback, flash forward memories of herself at 2 a.m. in front of this shop, like this food shop.
Yeah.
So this must mean in a previous life, she did come to this beach town and she did stay with her friends here until 2 a.m.
And it must have happened because otherwise she wouldn't see any of this going on. I think this is a problem. Like this whole thing, this whole future changing thing is a problem because we can't quite explain when did this happen? In what lifetime did she go to the beach except for this lifetime? So it's actually like the future is changing as she's living it. But how can
she have seen it if it hadn't happened?
And she's sitting there waiting for 2 a.m.
This is this truly. I mean, Korean drama watchers are very forgiving for how nonsensical some of these storylines are.
But I would have taken everything they've given me so far. Like everything they've done so far has kind of made sense. Okay, fine. Like these things happened in the past and she's jumping in and changing the future. This is not right. I don't like it.
I don't like it at all. Yeah. I mean, there's no world in which, at least that we know of, that you can go back and travel in time and change the future. But we'll take that. You moving forward and it changing before it happens seems just nonsensical.
I don't like it. It hurts the faith I had in this show. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, show.
It's almost grasping too much.
Yeah. At straws. Like, I believed in you. Well, I had faith in you. And then this is not right.
Yeah. And I also feel like her objective from the get-go was to make Sanjay happy. Right? Because she was intent on changing the future so that he doesn't get depressed later and kill himself. And arguably, he's there now. You could have a wonderful life with him.
Right. She wanders near the dolphin mural by herself, middle of the night. That's where she gets abducted in her flash forward. So she goes over there.
She starts to count down.
Detective Kim is in the area. However, her knight in shining armor, Sanjay,
had already called the police. I mean, again, this dummy rode the train all the way back to Seoul. I'm like, come on, fool. So then anyway, he goes back and then he sees Seoul's mom who's like, what are you doing here? She said that she was with you and that you're taking care of her. He then finally, like 3 hours later, figures out that she had been tricking him. He somehow makes it back by 2 a.m. to this town, calls the local police to go looking for this girl.
Look for the dumb girl wandering alone.
Who's looking at her watch waiting for someone to attack her.
Yeah, seriously. Not hard to find. She's just the lone dummy out in the dark. So because Sanjay comes and calls the local police, instead of the cabbie coming to abduct her the way she had it in her flash forward, the local police intercept and find her first. And what happens instead is...
then creeping cabbie and Sanjay end up on the cliff.
She fucked it up because she had no plan.
And this is what happens when you're a control freak.
Yeah. And you don't account for the fact that other people also have plans too.
But see, like, why didn't she get this flash forward?
Right. Right. Exactly.
It's like fortune tellers, you know, like I was telling you about this woman, Susan Miller. She's this great astrologist. And she was writing in the latest July horoscope about how so many terrible things have befallen on her. And I was like, well, but I thought you should be able to predict that because she'll always say like, oh, you know, this time of the month may not be good. So make sure to stay home or make sure to keep yourself protected.
Don't sign contracts.
Yeah. But her house got flooded. She got this terrible disease.
She's literally going blind.
Yeah.
You would have thought she would have seen that.
Yeah.
One,
maybe had some carrots, gone to the eye doctor.
I don't know.
But Soul,
she can see the future and it's changing before her eyes. She runs up to the cliff. Sanjay is just at that moment getting stabbed by the cabbie.
This turned so dark.
And also, cabbie? Really? You're going to have murder on your hands over what? What did Sanjay even do to you?
Over what? Truly.
He had nothing on you. You had not done anything yet, cabbie. So why are you going stabbing young men on cliff sides? Sanjay gets stabbed, falls off the cliff. That guy dead. He's so dead.
Do they not train you in Olympic swim camp how to survive a stabbing attack?
100-foot fall off a cliffside. He sinks into the ocean. And you just hear Seoul, Sanjaya! We cut to Seoul waking up to an alarm. It's December 7th. We're back in the future. We know we're back in the future because she got her cute hair.
Back to reality.
No more bangs. She lives in the apartment with her family still.
Yep. Her babies are crying.
Yeah. So she lives in this apartment with her mother, her grandmother, her brother, his wife, and two babies. Like all of them under one roof.
They must not be paying her in the production company.
Truly.
She should have just settled for that PE teacher.
She says in a voiceover, I'm living in the present as if nothing happened. So we don't know at this point what this world is. Like, what is this? I think we're a little bit meant to believe because we see a lot of posters of Inhyuk around and he's got the sponsorships. He's got the fan meets. Because, right, in a world where Sanjay is in eclipse, Inhyuk's not getting a fan meet. Right. The visual's getting the fan meet, right? We kind of just watch her live her life in this new world.
She is at the production company. She has to work with these annoying celebrities. She has to go convince some guy to kiss in a scene. Yada, yada, yada.
I do believe this might be true, though, because the troublesome actor, and he's a cameo, the actor's like, I don't want to do this kiss scene because my girlfriend won't let me.
This is true. It has happened before and it was revealed in this. But the girl was a very popular, very well-known actress. And it was quite dramatic because she came out to be a crazy person, like a crazy girlfriend. And some of the men, their acting was really poor in the drama. And it turns out because he was so scared of his girlfriend getting upset about how real he would portray his love for the other actress.
Oh no.
So maybe it was based on that. It was like a big drama because like the cacao text came out, you know, she was getting canceled.
Yeah, he's like trying to drink and drive, so she stops him with her car. So she ends up at the police station.
Oh my gosh. Okay, so unexpected because she's getting in trouble because she harassed him and his agency wants to sue her, whatever. And then somebody behind her in the jail cell is talking and she turns around. And it's bad boy Taesong.
Oh, so looking so cute with short hair.
And they make you believe that he's in there because it's like the drunk tank or something, you know? But it turns out he's a cop, which I loved.
She had said to him at one point, very casually in one of the past lives, oh, you're really good at deduction. You could be a detective. And so again, right, she didn't change Sanjay's life for the better, but she has changed Bad Boy's life for the better. So that's a really great thing to see. They go out drinking. It looks like they're really homies, like they're really good friends.
I feel like they've always had a good connection. Even us watching them, I think they have really good chemistry. And the reason why we're led to believe that Sanjay's dead is because it starts snowing and she's drunk. And she's crying and he's like, what's wrong? And she says, Sanjay, I miss you. And he doesn't say much. He kind of like strokes her hair or something. So I thought, okay, he must be dead.
He doesn't actually stroke her hair because that's way too intimate. Okay. Bad boy.
I imagined it.
Yeah. Don't be ridiculous. He sticks his hand in the air to block the snow from hitting her face.
Oh my gosh. That's actually more romantic.
I know. That's way better than a hair pet.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. And also the hair petting. I know this is like an old school Korea drama trope, but the hair petting, I find it to be so infantile.
Is that because usually when your hair is pet,
it's too greasy.
It's greasy. So you just, I like, do not touch my hair, please.
I flinch because it's too dirty. Don't touch
your
it.
Hair, don't smell your hand.
Yeah, during this scene, she's remembering Sanjay and, you know, it's all the times he raised an umbrella for her and she raised an umbrella for him. There's a montage of kisses. So I want to thank the producers at this time for compiling the kiss scenes for me. So I have to like go back and find
them. All the rewinds.
Yeah, exactly. I like a super cut of kisses for me in the middle of an episode. And so it turns out after the sweet scene, she was super drunk. She goes home and she writes this crazy resignation letter.
Yeah. Just blasting her boss, and she put it into a red envelope and slipped it into the pitch folder.
The boss takes it to a film festival with her in her purse. So we have some hijinks of Seol getting under her table, grabbing the purse so she could get the envelope and like running out. And so at the end of this episode, we see
she's running out of this beautiful hotel, running down the stairs. And she runs into someone.
Who kind of like sweeps her off her feet almost on these steps.
Ugh. And I was like, shut up!
Sanjaya! In a tux.
Oh my gosh.
Looking fine as hell. Ooh. Sanjay in a tux might be my favorite Sanjay.
He looks like an anime character.
Yeah. Like perfection.
He is beautiful.
Do we like Sanjay in a tux or Sanjay in a varsity jacket?
Oh, that's...
That one's a toughie.
That one is tough. So he's clearly not dead.
So like, how did we get here, right? We flash back to his death off the cliff. His body is like, you know, covered in a sheet. He's in a gurney.
Yeah, his face is covered up. So yeah, that means he's dead.
His watch flashes. The watch apparently, right, turns on as a time machine after he dies. She runs to his dead body, hits the watch. She thinks in her mind, we should never have met. We see this time, this watch has brought her back to the scene where he first sets eyes on her. The scene with the yellow umbrella in the rain when she mistakes him for a delivery man.
And gives him the candy. Yeah.
Instead of running up to him, she removes herself.
She avoids him so that he never sees her. He just sees the yellow umbrella and he drops a package off at her house and he walks away. So they never cross paths again. And then episode 14, we see her life has completely taken a different trajectory.
It's this moment that she decides, okay, I will never meet him. He will never fall in love with me. This is how I will save him. My problem with this scenario was when she first flashed back, or every time she went back in time, she didn't have any control over where she landed. Mm. And she always landed after this time.
Right.
And so now, very conveniently, she lands like the day she's supposed to meet him. Like, so she almost willed it.
Yeah. Maybe it's like manifestation. It took her back to the time where she could change that entire fate. Okay, but my confusion around this is why when she woke up in 2023, it's that scene where the babies are crying. It's almost like she believes also that Sanjay is dead because she keeps saying, I miss him.
Well, he's kind of dead to her and she's dead to him. They've had no relationship. But in this last lifetime of 15 years, he literally has never met her. Because she took herself out of his life. But for 15 years, she has remembered him.
Right.
And watched him become a star, a movie star that he is today. It's a flip to the original premise where he knew her, but she didn't know him. Now she knows him very well. He doesn't know her.
Yeah. He has no idea who she is. He's accusing her of stealing her boss's purse.
And he, you know, he says a lot of the same things because she starts crying because she sees him. So she's so shocked to be in front of him again. He's like, why are you crying? Did I make you cry? These are all the same words he said to her at the first umbrella scene in episode one. Sanjay gets embarrassed on national TV because he reads her letter instead of the winner. I mean, it's just hijinks. But hijinks. It's great because now he harbors a grudge against this mystery woman.
And more hijinks where Sol's sister-in-law, who now works at the production company.
So a fate that's changed.
Yes, because before she was a stay-at-home mom and she was kind of resentful for the life that she was living. But now she's had her kids, she's working alongside Sol, but her life is insane, as we know. You know, like she gets a call that her baby is sick, but her worthless husband isn't picking up the phone, and so she has to deal with it. So while she's doing that, she's uploading documents because they wanted to send Sanjay a script, but she ends up sending the wrong one, and that is the pitch that Sol was approved for.
Again, fate seems to be, it's taken 15 years. She has been able to avoid him this whole time, but now fate is bringing them together with this envelope mix-up and the sister-in-law accidentally sending her pitch to Sanjay. He reads it. It's actually Sol and Sanjay's story. Sanjay doesn't know it, but he starts to read it and he cries and he doesn't know why. And he wants to do her movie. And we hear, you know, the story is, it's basically a recap of the entire show.
Of this entire show.
Like, in case you missed it.
Yeah.
Here is a full-on expositional recap of everything you've watched for 14 episodes. She writes the rain shower lyrics in the pitch too.
Oh, she does.
Yeah. So this song doesn't exist in this lifetime.
Yes, because what we saw, she lived her new life. Her family moved away. All of the little mementos and the pieces that they had together were gone. Like the timepiece was gone. The lyrics that were on his desk that he had written were gone. The photo booth picture of them were gone. So this is completely new.
that song was very rooted in the experience he would have had with her with that first meeting, and they never have that meeting. So it's kind of sad because the song that brought them together over previous lifetimes doesn't exist in this life.
And yet there are so many other things that are still bringing them together. So again, maybe they cannot avoid their fate. And then they start to spar together because he wants to reject her because he was humiliated by her.
But he really wants to do this movie.
Yes. But she doesn't want anything to do with him. And actually, I love this energy between them.
Loved it.
She also quotes the Heavenly Granny, which again is a callback to one of the first episodes where she pretended to be a fortune-telling granny. And she says, "I can't be with a man born in the year of the horse."
And he's like, "Do you believe in fate?" And she says, "Ooh,
I'm not doing anything fate doesn't want me to do."
Yeah. Boy, does she believe in fate. They're really antagonists in this episode. They're like rude, dismissive to each other. Again, love this version of them.
Yeah. A lot of pent up sexual energy.
Yes.
And he's just much more arrogant and a little bit like chip on his shoulder. I like this. I like this kind of Sanjay.
Yeah. He was always so like fawning over her. And now he's like, "Who are you to tell me you don't want to work with me?" It's great. While this is all happening, Sanjay's having weird dreams of him like in the ocean. It reminded me of you because he's getting like these like crazy shrieking in his ear. And you were deaf in one ear, you were telling me.
I still kind of am. It feels like I have water in my ear. Do you think my lover from my previous life is trying to talk to me?
Another lifetime's memories are flashing
I'm
back.
I'm creating new memories as I speak.
I mean,
changing my fate.
The thing about you and whatever is going on with your body right now is you say it so casually. You're like, "Oh yeah, no, I just like can't hear in this ear." I'm like, that doesn't seem right.
But you know, people who have chronic illnesses, they just live with it.
Yeah.
That is the sad reality. So I have decided I'm definitely going to get some serious testing done in a few weeks, and maybe I'll be eating my husband's poop, so you'll hear about it,
I'm sure.
Anyway, so we still see elements of the previous life. They just keep coming back, like the girl in the white puffer jacket that was Sanjay Sucker.
Yeah, she's still around. I mean, crazy cabbie's still around.
But so do you think, I mean, I would hate for anything terrible to happen to the girl in the white puffer jacket, but it seems like he attacked her because we hear the jangle and then she gives them a facial description and it matches his face.
Well, yeah, monolids. She got the monolids
right.
That
was all she needed to say.
And then her actual grandmother, Haimoni, her like time slip guide, wanders into Sanjay's dad's barbecue restaurant. It turns out Haimoni has a photo of her and Sol and her address on the back.
Yes.
Because she has dementia. And Sanjay picks it up. He's like, another clue bringing them together.
Yeah.
So another great scene. He drops off grandma, Haimoni, and Sol, not knowing grandma's in the car of this like Ferrari, this like beautiful Lambo or whatever this car is.
She's like, "I'm not getting in there."
Just starts bitching at him outside on the parking lot. And he says to her, and my like heart melted. He goes, "You're really letting me go? You won't regret it?"
Oh. But he gets humiliated in the same way because then they go to a convenience store to get some tea. And he's kind of like, "Do you see my picture everywhere? Like, do you know how famous I am?
Like, put me in your movie. Look how everybody wants me."
But the poster that he pointed to was him hawking some coffee. And they did a great job because he did look a little washed up in it. And I was like, "Yeah, you don't look like you'd be that hot in this movie." And then some girls are like giggling, looking at him. So he thinks they want his autograph. Turns out they just wanted him to buy them cigarettes. And so he's humiliated just as she was.
And she's laughing at him.
He's like falling in love with her as she's laughing.
That scene was so great. He's just like, "I've never seen you laugh, you whore." She's finally kind of loosened up in front of him and feels like old times with him. Oh, great scene. He drops her off. He's watching as she walks into her apartment. It's a mirror to the scene from episode 1 or 2.
Where he was standing outside of her apartment. And his heart is physically hurting as he's standing there because I think he's feeling some connection to a different life. But Haimoni,
doing it again.
Oh my gosh, this made my heart hurt because she said to Sol, she goes, "I did good, right? You missed him."
Yeah.
Oh, I almost cried.
Haimoni knows. So just a lot of rat-a-tat-tat between these two. He can't kind of get over why she hates him so much. She's so trying desperately to put him down and make him hate her so that he'll leave her alone and she can be like separated from him, which was her plan all along. They end up at an amusement park. She's there just to reminisce, maybe. She's like, you know, the lonely single woman at an amusement park. You know, there's signs in San Francisco parks that are like, you can't be a solo adult at some of these children's parks.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah. You don't want to be that lady. Yeah,
no,
you know?
That creep.
Right. He's there for a photo shoot. He sees her on the Ferris wheel and he follows her on. She bitches at him again. Why? In all the movies in the world, do you want to do this one? She's so rude to him, just bitching at him. But like the bitching at him is almost like how familiar she is with him. Like it actually kind of betrays, right? Like only because she knows him this well, because she really like, she wouldn't do this to a stranger. Just
totally.
Like yell at them.
As they're talking about the movie, it's really poignant because he's asking her, so like, is it a happy ending? And she's basically saying like, well, she saves his life. So he's like, okay, so it's a sad ending. Is she happy?
He thinks it's a sad ending because the lovers are split apart. She thinks it's a happy ending because the man's life is saved. So I think it brings up the whole question of what makes a happy ending.
Yeah. But also that quintessential question of, is it better to have loved and lost than to never have loved at all?
Yeah. I think Sanjay's point is you should love and face death.
Yeah.
And choose that path. Hers, obviously, is sacrificing true happiness for what she believes is a better outcome for everybody, mm-hmm. which is how they're living today, where she is suffering on her own. She's been suffering for 15 years. And he seems to have a perfectly fine life.
Yeah.
Without her.
If you juxtapose her current state versus her in the 15 years ago state, she was much happier then.
Right.
And I think she would have
been in a wheelchair, right?
In a wheelchair. And she would have been happy even having met him and loved him, even if they had to go their separate ways or if one had died, than to be in the state of just living.
I guess her alternate fate is that she has to live with the fact that he died because of her. And so actually she's kind of being selfish because selfishly she can't live with that life.
Right.
So she'll choose the other way. I mean, so it all comes back to fate, you know, like I think what they're trying to show here is like, is it even possible to avoid your fate? The universe seems to be pulling them back together no matter how hard she's trying to keep them apart. He's even wearing, we see this in
the, oh my gosh, because what happens is they're on this Ferris wheel. It, something must have happened at the bottom. So it shakes and then the two of them end up in each other's arms. And the S necklace that's bejeweled pops out of his shirt.
It was the same one he gave to her on her birthday in college.
He's got it. She's looking at it completely bewildered.
Right. We end with her voiceover saying, our fates are like this Ferris wheel going round and round. Mm. Okay. My biggest what's up with the universe or God or whatever it is that's driving this story? Because if you're giving her so many chances to go back and change things, what's the point? If every time she's gone back, the outcome was either A, Sanjay's going to get killed and die, or B, you make both of them suffer without each other. Right? Like, what's the point?
Yeah.
If those are the outcomes, what is the point? Right? Because in Marry My Husband, we have this time slip thing again. But she gets to go back, the lead, gets to go back in time to change who she was and how she acted.
Yes.
To better her life.
Yes.
Here, no matter what Soul does, she's fucked. Like there's, there's no character arc.
Yeah, that's why in each of these slips, or I don't know what they would be considered, but it is unclear what her objective is. First, it was to make sure that he didn't fall into a depression. Mm-hmm. And then at some point, it shifted to her not getting attacked by the cabbie. And then him not getting attacked by, but like those were so out of her control.
Right.
But I think that's why it's also a little bit frustrating because it is inconsistent.
There's no like character development or like lesson learned for Soul.
It's clearly not learning any lessons.
Right. And it's really just like the universe was just like, hey, go sacrifice yourself and save this boy's life. Like that's all the universe wanted her to do basically. Right. And so I thought about it like it's kind of like the Terminator. which is how she explains herself to Sanjay.
Oh, yes.
She says to Sanjay, it's like, I'm like the Terminator. I came back from the future. But actually, the Terminator came back to the future to save John Connor. And then he sacrificed himself in the vat of molten lava or whatever, right? He goes down on the chain. She's the Terminator. She just literally, all she was meant to do is to sacrifice herself to save this boy. And I just don't feel like it's enough.
Yeah, that is a really great connection you made, because maybe that is her ultimate job in this world.
Yeah, I mean, that's it. That was it. So we've got fate pulling these two now strangers back together.
Well, sorry to keep beating this horse, but, you know, it's 2023. She knows better. You don't have to live in the same path that you were originally going to live in.
And clearly something's pulling you guys together, but she's still very much like, I got to stay away. Go. Yeah. I think one other question that I thought of was Taesung back in the day in high school. That's how him and In-hyuk know each other. They were in a band together.
Yes.
But Taesung was not Eclipse?
Well, in the original life, he got into trouble. And then I think he just remember he had to drop out of school. So maybe they just cut ties with him.
I see.
Unclear.
How good would he have been in the band?
Oh, yeah. His persona would fit perfectly.
Yeah.
But he's too much of a bad boy. You know, like, he'd have to be the rapper.
Right.
And this is a rock band, so he couldn't fit.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, so that is episodes 13 and 14.
I don't even know where we're going to go from here. 15 and 16, there's only two more episodes. But you've taken us a little bit too far away from the path.
I am, though, so relieved Sanjay's alive. I am also relieved we're back in 2023, because I love to see these two looking so good. And yes. I love the new relationship they've set up for them. So I'm not hating it. But yes, what else is there left?
Why did his watch have 3 o'clock? Because that would mean that she has three more chances.
Yeah, but maybe she just succeeded with what she needed to do in her first try. Or maybe she took 3 tries to get this done, but
she failed. So they were like, okay, we'll have to reset. 3 more tries.
Right. So it feels like maybe like she didn't use all these because she's done messing with fate. I think she should have learned in the first 3, like, you can't fuck around with fate.
Yep.
And it'll come after you. So she achieved what she needed to achieve by just avoiding him in the yellow umbrella in the rain scene. So anyway, Wirecutter, which is like the New York Times like recommendation article engine, it had a list of the best umbrellas.
Ooh. Was it a yellow one?
So there was one that had yellow. So I might just get a yellow umbrella.
Oh, that would be so fitting.
I know. Okay, so we're done with episodes 13 and 14.
Next, just make sure to chase around all the men with your yellow umbrella, because you never know.
We have episodes 15 and 16 left. It's our last recap of Lovely Runner. I am so personally excited to finish this up, and also very sad that we're not going to have any more.
So sad.
But we will be back next week. Until then, be well. See you next week. Bye.